Okay, 7 o'clock, let's call this meeting in order, please. Everyone please rise for Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Colosimo?
Present.
Clocher?
Here.
Lachisky?
Here.
Frieders?
Here.
Funkhauser?
Here.
Tarulis?
Here.
Hernandez?
Here.
A quorum is established.
Do we have any amendments to tonight's agenda? Okay, if not, we do have one presentation to the Girl Scouts in appreciation of their tree planting. So, girls, would you like to come up? And of course, they're fearless leaders. You want to tell the city council what you tell these guys, then you can turn it around. Yeah, tell us about what you guys did.
Do we have a mic?
Speak nice and loud, girl, so they can hear you on TV. About 10 feet tall or more. But the city, we have some certificates for you girls that we would like to give to you, okay? Let me read one certificate and I'll call your names out. So the certificate of appreciation. The Mayor and City Council of the United City of Yorkville present this certificate to Madeline Carter, Girl Scout Troop 1441, Yorkville, Illinois, in appreciation for your service to the community and for the efforts of your troop to beautify the Yorkville area and the Stepping Stones Park by planting an oak tree. Your ongoing support and contributions to the Yorkville community that made this a great place to live. Presented this 10th day of October, 2017. And which one of you are Madeline? Madeline, so thank you very much. And that's for you. Amelia? Thank you, Amelia. All your Boy Scouts, stay for their luck. Caitlin? Thank you very much. That's for you. Madison? Thank you, Madison. Brooke?
Can you sneak in maybe right there? Perfect. There you go. That's much better. Stand tall for it, ready? Got it.
Would you like to
get
there
for more? No, I'm okay. I'm just a mom in this project.
Okay, we have no public hearings this evening. Do we have any citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening? Russ, please state your name and sign in, please.
My name is Russ Walter. I'm the president of the Yorkville Library Board. First off, I'd like to introduce our new director, Lisa Topham, who's here today.
Welcome, Melissa.
And we do have an event this Saturday, which will be joined with the director. So you're all welcome to come, and if you'd like to see people playing with liquid nitrogen, November 4th, we have Mr. Freeze from Fermilab coming to do an event in the library, so that'll be a lot of fun. But what I'm up here for is to address a memorandum that I saw in the packet about the intergovernmental agreement library in the city. First off, didn't know this was happening today. Didn't know that the administration committee was meeting to talk about it. So it was a surprise. I was listening to WSBY and my WSBY in my car, and I heard the report from them that you guys all met, who was talking about the intergovernmental agreement. And the reason I found out about the discussion today was I was looking on the city's website, looking at the agenda to see if Gary had appointed anybody to the open spot on the library board. Found this. A little dismayed by the memorandum because there's a lot of inaccuracies in it. Number one is a typo, 2018. It said 2017 is when you were going to terminate the agreement. The first item on there is the full building study of the library that the library was supposedly notified that we were going to pay $30,000 for. That never happened. We never were told it was going to cost us $30,000. Nobody from the building study group ever visited the library that anybody in the library knows about. They never came in the building. Never asked to be shown around, never looked at mechanical systems, never looked at the roof. I don't know what they did for $30,000, but it wasn't worth it. I know your report is 1,100 pages, so somewhere there might be something that they did, but they were never in the building to look over the things. Let's see. Yes, she helped us with the RFP to get our building painted. Tom Lindholm was essential in getting that taken care of as well. We appreciate Rob's help with doing our budget and our accounting stuff. As far as assisting with the logistics of the library events at Hometown Days, this year the park department had nothing to do with it. Last year, they were instrumental in getting us going. This year, we asked them for help. They said no. Asked the Public Works if we could borrow cones. They said no. Wasn't in the intergovernmental agreement, so that was that. Looking over Bart's numbers, it says what the city does provide. I guess we can't argue with the administrative payroll processing and financial reportings. They seem a little high, but whatever. As far as on page 2, we're talking about what the park employees do with trimming, pruning, and weeding. We hire somebody to do all that. Edging and spot spraying, we hired somebody to do that. Mulching, we had ComEd deliver 2 loads of shredded trees, and we had volunteers to spread that. Interior lighting maintenance, They do help us with that. We do appreciate what they do to help us change light bulbs when they run out. Sign maintenance, we take care of that. Raising and lowering the flag, I don't know where that came from, because our staff does all that. So I'm not sure where all those numbers came from, other than, I don't know, hold my ear. We do have a very professional, this one paragraph, after the number of items, talking about the hostel, I'm not a public speaker, by the way, so. The library has never asked taxpayers for operating fund increase. In fact, there have been times in the years past that we have operated in a significantly less than the 0.15 allowed levy. Several years we operated at 0.11, although that was before the new building was built. Our current budget problem was caused by the city staff moving the library levy out of the overall city levy onto our home levy, which was capped. So we're working through that. We have a professional and qualified staff and board that has the big picture in mind for the library. Helping out with the staff from the rec department could be a help, but they would have to be added to the normal staff rotation, meaning their people would need to work nights and weekends like our staff does. We're not going to take the rec department staff and just chunk them in there and say all our people have to work nights and weekends. As I said, the library board does appreciate everything the city does for us, and we look forward to continuing that operation. And with that, I'm done.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other citizen comments on items that are on the agenda this evening? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the regular city council meetings of September 12th, 2017, and September 26th, 2017, as presented.
So moved.
Comments, questions, or corrections on the minutes? All those in favor of approving the minutes as presented, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, no mayor's report, no public works, economic development, or public safety reports. Admin committee report, I will turn it over to Alderman Moschewski.
I'd like to make a motion to terminate the future governmental agreement between the city and the library effective April 30th, 2018, and authorize staff to notify the library board of the city's termination of the existing future governmental agreement.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Comments, questions? Yes, sir.
You know, when I read the memo I'm not on admin, obviously, so I didn't know this was coming, but when I read it in the packet, I guess the only concern I have with it is we still have some time before we actually have to give them notice. Correct? I mean, right, what was the cutoff date? It was
9 days.
9 days in advance. There's no proposal as to what we're looking to change. I guess my concern is, okay, fine, we terminate the agreement, we send them notice, we terminate the agreement. For the new agreement, we obviously have to have buy-in from the library board. It's going to be an intergovernmental agreement. We have to agree. They have to agree. Right now, we have an agreement that's in place. It's not perfect, but it's in place. Nobody has proposed any modifications. So it's like diving into the pool blindly, and then we'll work on the modifications. But what if we can't come to an agreement with the library board? I mean, unfortunately, in the last year or two, the relationship between our city and the library has taken a negative turn, which, you know, I'm very disappointed about. I used to be the library liaison, and we actually had a very amicable relationship. So I'm just concerned that we're, you know, throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. Let's get rid of the old agreement and work on a new one. But what happens if we can't come to a new agreement? Now we're going to be functioning without this intergovernmental agreement with the library. They have to approve it. We have to approve it. Why don't we open up the dialogue? Let's see what our differences are. Let's figure out what we want to change first, or what we want to fix, or what we want to propose. And then if, at least, and they might not even have to agree with everything, but at least we as a council know what our game plan is coming out of the gate. Right now we're just kind of terminating and then, okay, let's figure out what we're going to do next. And I don't know if that's the best approach.
Yes.
I do support a new agreement in the respect that it's a 20-year-old document. And things, and as you talk at the library, it's right, things have changed, especially for them. You know, 20 years ago, look how little they were, how they expanded. So I think it's a benefit to all of us to sit down and update it and get a new agreement. But I was kind of surprised that we were going to terminate it, by the way, you know, that we were going to have a little more discussion and agree that, to have something to go on. You know, maybe have a joint
meeting. What are their needs? What are our needs?
And then, personally,
because
you
know,
I do support it. It's from 1997. A lot has changed in
50
years.
What was the
kick? Oh, go ahead. I add to that, the technology has changed. I have a junior in high school, and they read their books. It's all online. It's actually each kid gets passed out a tablet, and all that stuff is done through that. I was surprised you
didn't want to go to
the library.
And just to clarify what you said, I agree with Jackie. It's time for a new agreement. It's a 20-year-old agreement. So I'm not opposed to doing a new agreement with the library. I'm just procedurally, I think maybe we're kind of in the wrong area.
What was the conversation at admin committee? I mean, I didn't listen to it. I mean, that's obviously why it's here, right? It came out of admin.
Yeah, the committee had recommended the staff right. There's no functional legal reason to do so before mid-January. So that's something that if the city council wants to do, they can. You know, obviously there's a fair amount of discussion and miscommunication between staff and elected officials, appointed officials on both boards. And so I think the intent of the staff recommendation was to just be as clear as possible that we expect a new agreement to be in place by May 1, and this, to me, was the clearest, most definitive way to make sure that occurs rather than diving into the weeds and having a discussion and making nothing happen about May 1. It was, you know, really forcing ourselves to put that in place May 1. But you can still act on it the first meeting in January, I think is the way I put it down.
And I think even if we did terminate it, I mean, there's no intention of stopping to doing anything like payroll or anything like that, right? So. Joel?
Yeah, I think what's kind of blatant is it says effective April 30th, 2018. So, and we did this 2.5 months ahead, or a month and a half, whatever it is, ahead of when we could have. I think this is the clearest way of saying, okay, we have to all come to the table, disagreements aside, and figure out how this document has changed for both parties, and then come to an amicable resolution, as opposed to having like animosity on both sides. Like Tim's original presentation with his proposal a few months ago, if that was the first attempt at us changing this document, you can only imagine how strange that would have been to approach it that way. I just think that with that particular experience, we are giving a heads up, hey, we have to come to the table and talk about this. And that's what this is. So we're putting a deadline in place so that, no, it isn't a surprise. You've got plenty of notice. It's in the public notices. It's available to discuss. So now we're basically just saying this is our timeline. We're going to come to a consensus in 6 months and 7 days. And that's all it's saying to me. So like I don't think it's going to stop anything right away. I think this is a little push in the bottom. Come to the table, let's talk about this.
Yes, sir.
Having been the liaison with Carl, the library board, it seemed to me that there was a lot of disagreement at the time I was on there as to really what constituted the agreement with the city. I don't think there was ever any consensus as to, you know, what was in there and what wasn't in there. It seemed to me that there was always questions arising without really getting straight answers as to, you know, what the responsibilities were between the library and the city. So I would welcome seeing a document developed that kind of stipulates, lays out what the agreement is. Right at this point in time, I'm not sure what it is.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
I guess maybe going there last night, so I'm the liaison, which was a good experience, is to maybe to come to everybody come together and even talk about the existing. You know, I think they're all, the library board and, you know, you've appointed, they're basically, we discussed yesterday, everybody's new except one person who's been there actually since 1997. None of us were here in 1997. You know, has anybody really read it and discussed it with them? So I think it needs to be, I think a new agreement needs to help us all learn and be looked at positively. And that's kind of what I'm trying to tell the library board. It's just, let's all get on board because none of us were here in 1997. Let's get it updated. And I even told them, what's your laundry list? Now you have events like your book sale, and what do you need more from us? So, you know, it's like, I think it's good, we need to have a give and take and do a new agreement.
Yes. Honestly, I think the process that Mark's laid out is a good one for this issue. It gives us several months to plan, wipes the slate clean. We're not looking at a 20-year-old document that truly has not been working. As you said, a couple of liaisons, and you're new, you put two liaisons that have said there have been issues. So clearly our agreement's not working because it's not intended to function as to the way it is we're working today. I mean, everything has changed about how we operate the library, how we work with the library. So it's time to actually just clear the slate, come up with a new plan. This gives us months to be able to put our feet to the fire. We have other agreements that we've talked about working on, such as the school, which has been out there for 3 years now. So this actually puts our feet to the fire to actually do something and not be like a typical government. So I'm in favor of it.
Maybe if we had terminated the loan in school,
we'd be farther along than we've done. It's self-terminated. It expired with no renewal. We continued to offer the services, and it hasn't been renewed. So, yeah. Different strategy.
I feel the same as all the phone power readers. I think it's a bit of a... All
right, anyone else? Roll call.
Funkhauser?
Aye.
Milchewski?
Aye.
Hernandez?
Aye.
Koch?
Aye.
Plocher?
Aye.
Frieders?
Aye.
Tarulis?
Aye.
Pelosimo?
Nay.
Motion passes.
Nothing from Park Board, Planning and Zoning Commission, no City Council report, any City Clerk's report.
No report.
Any Community and Liaison reports? Yes, sir.
Just report on the AACBB after our last council meeting. We had approved the amendments here, sent it back to the CBB after a very long and tense discussion. The CBB did accept our amendments. They are proceeding with that.
We are not. You determined that the changes that they approved, while the language is different, the intent of it was the same, but it did not need to be reserved.
My legal opinion was that we didn't need to come back because what was accepted was precisely what the City Council approved. They then applied it to all the other municipalities. So the verbiage says now, instead of United City of Yorkville, it says all municipalities. But the agreement that you approved is in fact.
Okay, then maybe you want to go rather.
And another book that my sandwich is probably pulling out of the screen. They have some concerns. It's mostly generated by the lack of their hotel. Their management of the hotel is in St. Louis. And they have some problems as a municipality working with their hotel. So they feel that they're not getting the benefits, so they will probably be withdrawing.
So we will be the furthest west community?
Plan.
Oh, plan.
So we get 2 years.
Okay. Any other 2 year liaison reports? Staff reports?
No reports.
We do have a presentation. Fiscal year 2017 audit presentation.
It's like Christmas Day.
Thank you.
start just briefly covering the audit process itself. I know Rob then will be going into some of the numbers detail as far as the results for the fiscal year. So we're going to start off this evening with a large bound document. I saw many of you thumbing through that this evening. So the large document is, in fact, our comprehensive annual financial report for the fiscal year ended April 30th, 2017. This is an annual endeavor, basically starting about in the month of April, where we come out for planning with staff. We then go into actual testing of accounts and internal control documentation and assessment. Then going into our draft process of the CAPR itself, some back and forth discussion with staff going through that draft process, and obviously resulting in our presentation this evening. It is a long process, as you can imagine, lots of communication back and forth. I wanted to thank both Rob and Bart and the rest of the team. They really do an outstanding job preparing for the audit. It is an intensive process, and I would like to make sure the council is aware we had, again this year, no material adjusting journal entries. That is a big deal in the government world because typically we come into a community of this size and do, in fact, have to make certain adjusting entries at year end to get the books in compliance with reporting standards. So thank you to Rob and his team for all of their efforts in preparing for the audit. The clean audit process is also indicated by the fact that the city received what we call the Certificate of Achievement for Excellence in Financial Reporting. You'll find a copy of last year's award provided in the introductory section of the audit. That is a third-party review of the financial statements. It's really the highest level of financial reporting you can have in the government world. So again, kudos to the staff and management for going through the process of getting that certification as well. If we flip to page 1 and 2 of the document, you'll find the independent auditor's opinion. As I stated, we had no journal entries and no internal control issues, so you'll find a clean audit opinion on pages 1 and 2 of the document, roughly 10 pages into the work order. A clean opinion is what we call an unmodified opinion, that is the highest level we can issue. Our goal when we come in for our financial statement audit is to ensure that the financial statements are materially correct as presented, and that is in fact what that audit opinion indicates. Immediately after the audit opinion, you should find a very important section labeled Management's Discussion and Analysis. You'll find 12 pages provided here, indicated by MD&A 1 through 12 on the bottom. I know it's a large document. I think you guys are close to 200 pages here. These 12 pages are really intended to be the executive summary to the audit. It is, in fact, prepared by management. Rob and Bart have done an excellent job of capturing some of the key transactions for the year. I won't go into a lot of detail within that MD&A, but really did want to point it out from council's perspective. I would encourage you to read those 12 pages in detail. The last section of the large document I want to point out is actually all the way towards the back. It's what we call our statistical section, starting on page 126. The statistical section is, in fact, one of those required sections for the Governmental Accounting Standards Board Certificate of Achievement Award. And what you'll find here are all kinds of 10-year trend information tables. The first several will provide financial highlights for the last 10 years. As you make your way through that section of the report, you'll also find information on property tax data for the last 10 years, outstanding debt, operating indicators, information about the local economy. So really a wealth of information at the back of the report. I know for all of our boards and councils, there's really some good references within that section of the report. And that section will, in fact, take you all the way to the last page of the CAPR. I would be happy to answer any specific questions on the audit process. I know I'm going to hold the numbers discussion for Rob. I did want to point out a smaller bound document that you have before you this evening, and that is providing our management letter. Yes, it should be labeled management letter. I think you've got a couple of small documents there. We'll focus on the management letter. As I said, we had no internal control issues, but the
government world we have to adhere to. Unfortunately, they've been very, very busy over the last decade, keeping us in government on our toes as far as compliance requirements. So this year is no different. We have an upcoming GASB standard, GASB 75, which relates to how we report our post-retirement health care costs. And so in publicly traded companies, they have reported for many, many years the potential liability for post-retirement health care costs right on the face of their financial statements. I always say in the government world, we're at least a decade behind, so GASB is tackling that concept. That is not coming for the next couple of years, so that statement is provided in the management letter as a kind of heads up that it's coming. We'll be working with staff to determine what that potential liability might be for the city. The second comment is actually an update to a comment provided in prior years, really just an update on our funds that have deficit balances. So you will see in that update that one of those funds, in fact, came off the list. And given the nature of the SSAs and the TIF funds, we would, in fact, expect them to be in that deficit position for some period of time until those dedicated revenue sources come in to help offset that. So just an update on the numbers or balances provided there as well. Any questions? Otherwise, I'm going to turn it over to Rob to chat with you about the numbers and results for the year. Thank you.
Now for a brief audit in CAFRO. This is the sixth time in a row that the city has received the Certificate of Achievement, commonly known as the CAFRO report, for our comprehensive annual financial report. We do plan on sending it again to the GFOA, so hopefully we'll make it seven in a row. So we'll keep you posted on that. Of the general fund, we go back to fiscal year 2006 before the recession. At the end of fiscal year 2006, the general fund is at about $5.8 million, which is its pre-recessionary high. As you can see, the gray bars here, most of about half the fund balance consists of bond proceeds from the 2005A issue, which was used for the in-town road program for both fiscal year 2006 and 2007. Obviously, that money was spent down on the road work. You can see in fiscal year 2008, the black bar is significantly decreased as building permit revenues continue to decline. This is when the recession hit in the fall of 2007. Moving into 2009, you can see that the majority of fund balance at this point is receivables due from developers. Obviously, that didn't come to fruition because in fiscal year 2010, we wrote off the bad debt. Fund balance went negative to the tune of about $500,000. We were able to do some implemented cost cutting at that time. Fiscal year 11 cut that deficit in half. Fiscal year 12, we did some additional cost cutting measures. And this is when our taxes and intergovernmental revenues, sales tax and income tax, started to recover a bit. Fiscal year 13 was the first full year of the non-home rule sales tax. So we went from $1.2 million at the end of fiscal year 12 to about $4.2 million at the end of fiscal year 13. Fiscal year 14, fund balance dipped a little bit. If you recall, that was the year that we got rid of the municipal building fund, as well as the deficit equity position, the rec center fund. So we had a little bit of dip down to $3.8 million. And it's been pretty solid improvement since then. Fiscal year 15, fund balance was up to $4.8 million. Fiscal year 16, up to about $5.7 million. And for the current year ended, fiscal year 2017, we're at $6.2 million, so we've actually now eclipsed our pre-recessionary high at fiscal year 2006. Again, this just kind of mirrors what we've already talked about with fund balance. This is the general fund budget's surplus and deficit. Again, you're spending down bond proceeds here. Fiscal year 10, we have that bad debt write-off. And then you can see, besides the dip in fiscal year 14, over the last 3 years, we've increased general fund balance anywhere from $500,000 in the current year to about $800,000 in fiscal year 16, and then it was $1 million in fiscal year 15. Here's a snapshot of some of the more prescient revenues in the general fund. The big story this year is both the municipal and the local sales tax, along with the non-home rule sales tax. Local sales tax exceeded budgetary amounts by $140,000. The non-home rule exceeded budgetary amounts by about $100,000. We're looking at year-over-year growth of about 6%, which is pretty solid. We hope that trend will continue on in the fiscal year 18 as well. Kind of the bad news, I guess, if we had to say bad news for the year, would be income tax. We budgeted 1.7. It actually went down over $100,000 to about 1.6, which is kind of in line with our fiscal year ending 2014 numbers. The good news is even though there is going to be a 10% reduction in the LGDF, we do expect the numbers from the special census to bump this number north again of 1.7 million. So we'll obviously keep you posted on that. Again, excise tax. As we've seen over the last couple of years, this revenue line item continues to decrease. It was budgeted at 398, it finished at 368, and this is just a response to really landlines going away as fewer people use landlines and fewer businesses. This revenue will unfortunately continue to decline until there's some statutory change. Just looking briefly at the expenditure side of things, as you can see, all the functional departments in the general fund, including admin services, finished fiscal year 2017 below budget, as did Parks and Recreation and the Sewer and Water Fund. Again, here's just an aggregate snapshot of the general fund. As you can see, the budgeted over here on the left, the actual results in the middle, and the variance on the right. We exceeded budgeted revenues by almost $500,000. Same thing on the expenditure side, about $500,000 under budget. So we had a fiscal year ending 2017 surplus in the general fund of $522,000. Again, we present this slide every year just to do a little quick cost comparison between in-house engineering and outsourcing of engineering. Fiscal year 2010, 5 full-time. In-house engineering personnel, $535,000. This year, obviously, it's outsourced, and it's about $100,000 less, coming to $139,000. Delving into the cash flow a little bit more, we have some fund balance categories that starts on paper page or the bound copy on page 8. $984,000 of the general fund balances restricted for the IMRF levy. That will be zeroed out in approximately 3 to 4 years. And we're required to show that in that regard due to PSB Statement 54. Pensions, a lot of information about pensions in the CAFR, from plan description to discount rate to the changes in the net pension liability. A long story short, the pension fund, at least the police pension fund, like the city, had a good year. You'll see as we get going in the next month or so, we'll talk more about the tax levy, and I believe you already seen the actuarial evaluation, but the percent funded actually increased from 39.5% to 42.3%, so not a bad year-over-year increase. Just real quick, the reason for the increase was there were some changes in the actuarial assumptions regarding mortality tables that had a positive effect. The fund did exceed its assumed rate of 7%, which is great. And then also, too, the city continues to fully fund its actuarial determined contribution. So those three factors have led to the year-over-year percent funding increase. Long-term debts. We have a summary of our long-term debt beginning on page 39. And then if you so desire, we do have debt service amortization schedules, which shows you every principal and interest payment due throughout the life of all our debt, as well as the developer commitment narratives, which starts on the bound page 51. The statistical section that Jamie alluded to begins on page 126 of the bound copy. Again, it's a great resource for looking at historical financial trends along with additional demographic and economic and operating information for the city. Typically, went about 10 years into the past. Some of the other items of note of the statistical section, you can see that as far as full-time employees go, we're pretty much in line in 2016, where we were in 2005. Of course, the height of full-time employees was in 2008, prior to the recession. And towards the end of the statistical section, you'll see some of our operating metrics, traffic violations, street inventory, new housing starts per year, etc. So for the management letter, that again, Jamie alluded to, you'll know new recommendations. GASB 74 and 75 will be something I'll be working on implementing in fiscal year 2019. It has to do with retiree health insurance, as James already covered. I think the impact will be minimal here in Yorkville because retirees pay 100% of their premiums. So there will be an implicit cost, but I know it's not going to have a material impact on our financial statements, but we will run an actuarial evaluation and see what we can come up with. And again, just commenting on the deficit equity of the Countryside TIF. The Countryside TIF, as you know, there's been a lot of development taking place, and for the second year in a row, has actually had a surplus of $50,000, give or take. And obviously, as that development continues to develop, we'll continue to see the property tax increment increase, which will pay off the debt service, and then we'll continue to chip away at that the negative fund equity, and won't be a draw on the general fund. And then, of course, the Sunflower SSA has a negative fund balance of about negative $14,000, and that's due to a one-time expenditure for trail maintenance that the fund will be paying back, excuse me, over the next 8 years or so. Just real quick, upcoming, we have the tax levy discussion, which will begin next week at Admin Committee. Approve the estimate on October 24th, hearing scheduled for November 14th, discussion and vote at the end of November or end December. Again, looking ahead, we're beginning the budget season this Saturday with our annual goal setting session. We've already, of course, started it internally with staff. We'll give you a draft, as usual, sometime in January. Presentations February, and the discussion and approval in March and April. So that concludes the presentation. If there's any questions, address them.
Thank you, Rob. Nice job. Thank you, Jamie. No questions? All right, then. Any additional business? No executive session? Any other citizen comments? Jim? Meeting adjourned. Thank you all.